Support comes from the Wiregrass Archives at Troy University's Dothan campus, identifying and preserving historical documents and photographs for research related to the Wiregrass region. More information at troy.edu/wiregrassarchives.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Today, we bring you part two of our interview with Mike Lutzenkirchen, whose beloved son, Auburn football star Philip Lutzenkirchen, died in an automobile accident in 2014. To honor his son's legacy, Mike started the Lutzy 43 Foundation to educate young drivers about the hazards of distracted driving. The foundation's name comes from Philip's nickname and the number 43 on his jersey. Philip played in Auburn's national championship season in 2010. Mike joins us again by Skype from Marietta, Georgia. Mike, welcome back to In Focus, and thank you again for joining us by Skype from Marietta, Georgia. We're talking about your beloved son, who was a star Auburn football player.
Thank you for having me on today, Carolyn.
You have talked with the University of Georgia football team, as well as the Clemson football team. What was their reaction to your relating Philip's death?
You know, I think there was the timeline on those, Carolyn, was Georgia was the second football team I spoke to in the fall of 14. Clemson was shortly after that in the fall of 14. Many of those kids in those rooms knew who Philip was. Either they played against him, they were recruited to Auburn while Philip was there, and he was visible as a captain and maybe as a host. So it really resonated with them. The most recent college talk I gave was at Rice University several weeks ago, and it was on the heels of the tragedy that occurred in Athens, Georgia, with their football program, where a staff member, 24 years old, and a student athlete were killed in a single vehicle crash that, again, was completely avoidable. And I've never held that Philip made poor decisions that weekend. I tell people all the time, I'm not mad at my son. I love my son. I wish the outcome, obviously, was different. And the only regret that I have is Philip always showed leadership in his life. Had he taken the keys that fateful weekend where 13 kids went to a farm and hid those keys and said, you'll get these back Sunday night at 5 o'clock, you wouldn't be having me on your show. So these football players, high school kids, and most importantly, what we were doing with 43 Key Seconds is there's a gap in corporate America. Companies that have a safety culture, that have a safe driving initiative, they do a wonderful job of making sure the people that drive their logoed vehicles get the same passion, the same message, and a lot of frequency of being safe behind the wheel. But then all their employees that don't drive one of their logoed vehicles, there's not the same amount of emphasis on that safe driving. Most companies, when I meet with them, they're not packaging their safety program, what they're supposed to be doing behind the wheel of the vehicle, so that that employee can take it home to their driving age family members. And we think 43 Key Seconds is creating this intersection for companies to protect themselves, all of their employees, not just those that drive their logoed vehicles, but as importantly, the family members of all their employees. And that's what motivates us every day to make sure people learn about 43 Key Seconds.
Partnerships are a key to the success of the work of the foundation.
It's a partnership with GDOT, for example, over in Georgia, where we're delivering these five-hour safe driving summits across the state, targeting high school teenagers. To date, we've delivered five of them. Every one of them has been on a college campus. So it turns out to be a win-win in that we're challenging high school kids as they get their licenses to make smart decisions behind the wheel right up front, to not be distracted drivers, to make sure they're wearing their seatbelts in every position in the vehicle, to not be drinking or emotional, to not be super speeders, to respect other drivers on the road. And we think it's a program, Carolyn, if we do it right, that it can be repeatable in Alabama. So we're cultivating relationships with key personnel within the Alabama Department of Transportation.
So, Mike, I know the Lutzy 43 Foundation stresses several things, and distracted driving, and impaired driving, and unsafe driving. So how did that come about?
That came about in late 2017, early 2018. So if you think about the timeline, it was 3 years after Phil had passed away, and we had probably at that point all delivered about 200-plus talks, a talk that's about an hour in length that is called Philip's Legacy, What Legacy You're Leaving. These talks started out with high school and college football programs, grew on college campuses with the Greek system. But I was asked two key questions. Was I concerned about Phillip's relevancy, and was I satisfied at that point what the foundation had accomplished? And the answers were simple. Every day I wake up is one more day past Phillip's time on Earth. So yes, the relevancy factor is key. Secondly, I think most people in life, we get satisfied at some point, but then recognize what more can we do? And I wake up every day leading this foundation, trying to figure out ways that other families don't get a phone call, or in our case, the post is on our front door, knowing, finding out that they lost a child. What it caused us to look at is our government on the national level. So that's the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. At the state level, it's called the Governor's Office of Highway Safety in the state of Alabama. You really don't have an agency with that title, but those people that kind of fill that role work within the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, ALEA. You've got the DOT's Department of Transportation at the national level, the state level, and they've invested in very good programs like Click It or Ticket, You Text, You Pay. Our belief, though, is unless a government agency budgets money for that or submits a grant to get money and puts it on a billboard or a radio advertisement, maybe on NPR, for example, people don't hear it and they don't see it. The other problem we had with it is they're singular in nature. So it's texting, or it's seatbelt use, or it's speeding, or it's driving on influence. And we did some research, and of all of our senses, so what we see is the most likely sense to trigger a behavioral instinct or a change. And everybody knows what a key looks like. And we put 43 Phillips number on it, and it says 43 key seconds on that key. And it hangs on a lanyard. On the back side of the key, it says 43, the word TO, so 43, too distracted free. Those sayings run along the lanyard itself. But as importantly, we created what now looks like a credit card. It's plastic. It's the size of a credit card. And we have a 43-key-second checklist.
It seems that what you're saying is don't let yourself become a statistic.
The checklist basically says no matter who you are, where you're driving, what you're driving, what time, and as you ask yourself, do I have a clear head, clear hands, clear eyes? And then we tie into the 20-year program of Click It or Ticket by saying click it. What is a clear head? It means you ask yourself, am I drug impaired, alcohol impaired, am I fatigued, am I emotionally impaired, or am I technology impaired? And if you're any one of those, you have to be mature enough or smart enough to step away and say, I'm not prepared to drive at this point. And we think if this is done right, you remove that card after you memorize the checklist, and you take that lanyard with the key on it, you put it around your rearview mirror, and the next time you're tempted to pick up the phone to answer a text or respond to an email, as a teenager, you think that you can Facebook Live to maybe give a teenager courage to tell your passengers to put their seatbelt on, to not be a super speeder. It's going to trigger a different behavior. It says, you know what? That key triggers me to be a smarter and safer driver, a more conscientious driver than all those around me. And what motivates me is a scorecard that comes out on a quarterly basis, and it comes from NHTSA. It gives roadway statistics on our crashes, our injuries, and most importantly, fatalities. And in the last reporting period, the numbers are going in the wrong direction across every category, whether it's a pedestrian, a bicyclist, somebody that's just walking, somebody that's not wearing seatbelts, it's unbelted passengers, it's speeding. Our fatality rate continues to grow either in numbers or as a percentage of the miles driven in this country. And our Protected by 43 Key Seconds is a mission to try to reverse that bad trend.
So your 43 seconds to complete that safe driving checklist can save a life. Mike, I want to thank you for joining us today by Skype.
Carolyn, I'm grateful for you having me on to share with your audience, and just wish everybody safe driving.
Joining us by Skype was Mike Letzenkirchen, founder of the nonprofit Letzy 43 Foundation, to honor his son Phillip's memory. Information about the foundation and its partners can be found at the website letzy43.org. And that's spelled LUTZIE43.org. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.
Support comes from the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, presenting Cabaret. The musical from the creators of Chicago runs on ASF's festival stage, July 6th through August 6th. Ticket information at asf.net.